This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Our next story, I'm just going to say this up front. Barisan Nasional's BN Secretary General, Datuk Sri Nazri Abdul Aziz, has been in the headlines recently for a number of different reasons, most of which I'm not going to mention because a lot of it is focused on the racial rhetoric that we've seen from him and lots of other politicians in the past. So maybe no need to focus on that. Just to say, a police report has been lodged against him for allegedly seditious, racist remarks, and then he's given his statement to the police. So, moving on.
What we did want to look at, though, was something Nasri said yesterday, because he basically told MCA that if they were unhappy with BN, they should just leave the coalition. He said, "I thought they wanted to dissolve BN, and in the previous by-election, they contested in Balakong under their own party banner. So, constructively, they are not part of BN because they do not agree with us."
So, that dissolution point... This was in reference to MCA's Central Committee unanimously voting to dissolve BN during MCA's 65th General Assembly on December 2nd last year. So, of course, MCA isn't going to exactly, you know, take that lying down. Today, they released a statement demanding that BN remove Nasri from his position. MCA SecGen Datin Paduka Chiu Mei Fan said that a major reason why the former ruling coalition has fallen to such lows was the arrogance of leaders such as Nasri.
She also reminded her BN counterpart that the coalition had been formed by UMNO, MCA and MIC, and then later by another 10 parties, all of which have since abandoned it. She went on to say, "In brief, BN does not belong to UMNO alone. It is the result of a collective struggle by UMNO, MCA and MIC. It is also not the absolute property of Nasri Aziz."
A strongly worded statement. And to close off in what looks like an ultimatum of sorts to the UMNO leadership, she also said failure to punish Nasri would irreparably harm any remaining cooperation among the three BN founding members. And I suppose it's not really a new move that we're seeing from the Secretary General of Barisan Nasional to kind of make incendiary statements, to make very big statements. But it is kind of a rude thing, right, to say about a member of your own coalition, to put it mildly.
Though it is nice to, well, not nice, but though it is interesting, rather, to see that MCA defending themselves, because that's usually not the case, where MCA last time was kind of BN's best friend, where, oh, I can say racist things because, you know, I have MCA, they're my best friends, right?
I think some people would definitely argue that's a role that they play. I do also think that if MCA did vote to dissolve Barisan Nasional, then, you know, perhaps... Okay, it could have been worded better. It could have been said in private. There are lots of things that could have been done differently. But is it really unfair to suggest, you know, you guys seem like you want to leave?
Well, I think at some point they were actually at a cross path where they might have, right, depending on which person won the recent MCA general elections, or MCA internal party elections. So, yeah, I think it does, I mean, not to enable Nasri, but he does have a point that, you know, if you look and sound and have sort of officially said that you want to leave, just leave.
So we wanted to take this opportunity to take a look at really the founding principles of the BN coalition and the kind of power shifts and power struggles that have happened in the past, as we're seeing play out even now. And we're going to speak now to Dr. Oh Yi-san, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Yi-san, thanks for joining us. Talk to us about the formation of Barisan Nasional. How did it come about? What were the driving forces?
Well, you see, the whole concept of first Malaya and then later Malaysia really had a racialistic dimension to it. The idea was, at first, the various main communities of Malaya, the Malays, the Chinese, and the Indians, and then later on, the major communities of whole of Malaysia. You would include also the natives of Sabah and Sarawak. Together, they would form a country, Malaysia, but, well, we're still there, various respective distinct racial identities. That's why there was at first this so-called in Malay Perikatan, or the Alliance Party, right, at the formation of Malaya and then Malaysia. And at that time, Alliance was just UMNO and then the MCA and NIC. Then came the 1969 riots. And then the country went into emergency for quite a few years. Then in 1973, the then Prime Minister, And also, the, I think, chairman of Alliance, and there would be Tun Razak, the late Tun Razak. He decided to essentially expand the Alliance into BN, or Barisan Nasional. So Barisan Nasional took in, at that time, additional component parties, such as Gerakan, such as the various parties in Sabah and Sarawak. And, well, surprisingly, even past the Islamist party, even though it left a few years later. So that was the idea of having a more, at least from Tun Razak's point of view, a more inclusive political coalition, which takes into consideration the various racial and other sort of identities of the people of Malaysia.
So you said that the formation of our country is rooted in racialistic dimensions. Help us understand why that was the case, particularly when it came to forming a coalition that would then make up the government.
Well, in the 1950s, the British decided to cobble together this new nation and give it independence called Malaya. And then in 1963, they expanded it to also take in Sabah and Sarawak, and that was Malaysia. So even at that time, the British realized that, well, there are people of different racial and ethnic backgrounds, different religious beliefs as well. And sometimes, you know, as in many cases around the world, sometimes people of diverse backgrounds don't get together. So the whole country was sort of founded on the basis that, well, the different racial and ethnic groups, they could, to a large extent, retain their various identities, but at the same time come together to become a country. It was an experiment, of course, and so far it's not bad. I mean, if you compare to, let's say, the Middle East, the Balkans, former Yugoslavia, and so on, we are very successful in comparison.
Ihsan, I just wanted to go back to something else that you said earlier, which was that PAS was actually part of the BN coalition once upon a time. What did that look like?
I think PAS was a part of BN, well, starting from when BN was formed in 1973 to approximately, let's say, 77, when PAS felt that UMNO did not quite see eye to eye with a lot of their policies. I mean, PAS had this idea of eventually sort of forming an Islamic caliphate of the Far East in this part of the world. And well, UMNO defends the interests of the Malays, both racially and religiously, but perhaps not to the extent of a theocratic regime as PAS has long envisioned. So at some point, they fell out with each other. I think the trigger was over some sort of political deadlock in Kelantan in the late 1970s.
So what were the core principles that drove Barisan Nasional or the Alliance Party in the early days?
Well, I think in the early days when Malaysia, and before that Malaya first achieved its independence, there was this sort of consensus decision-making process within first the Alliance and then Barisan, namely the major political issues or even social issues of the day would be thoroughly discussed among the component parties. And well, you would need some sort of a consensus before a major policy change was made. And you could see the leaders at the time, Tunku Abdul Rahman, Tun Razak and so on, and also Siu Sin and Tun Sambantan and so on. They are personally very good friends, and sometimes they would talk issues over a cup of coffee or tea. And that was how a lot of very thorny issues were addressed.
So it sounds like as a coalition, they really operated quite differently then as compared to how it is today.
Actually, in today's the new ruling coalition, Pakatan Harapan, you see a little bit of what actually took place in the early days of BN and Alliance, namely the different component parties. They are equal to each other. No one party is subordinate to another, and you know, they will work out issues in their supreme councils or in their meeting of the various leaders of the various component parties. In BN, however, I think starting at least in the 1980s, it became dominated by UMNO. So essentially, decisions typically were made in UMNO already, and then very, very often it is simply announced to the other component parties of BN. And that, of course, made the various component parties and sometimes also the various communities which they represented not so happy.
Right. And pre-1980s, what sort of role did MIC and MCA play in the coalition? And what would you account for that shift in the distribution of power between the component parties?
Well, you see, during the alliance days, that is between, let's say, 1957 to 1973 was when BN was formed. UMNO, of course, was still retaining the largest number of MPs, but followed closely by MCA and a bit further apart is MIC. So, you know, you could, as I said, you could sit down as equals, as equal component parties. Over the years, however, I think the number of seats won by UMNO and allocated to UMNO to contest within BN have become much larger. So, well, political reality dictates that if one, let's say, component party has overwhelming superiority over over those other component parties in terms of, let's say, parliamentary seats, then, of course, major party would dictate terms within that coalition. So I think that was what came to be in the 1980s. And of course, starting the 1980s or so, there was a wave of nationalistic sentiments. There were those who advocated, for example, so-called one language, one culture for the country. And that sort of nationalistic sentiments were at a high within UMNO. So that coupled with their vast superiority in terms of, let's say, parliamentary and state assembly seats, well, it sort of caused this sort of UMNO dictating terms to the other component parties.
Right. And on that note, I mean, the reason why we wanted to focus on this today is based on the comments that UMNO member Nasri Aziz made, saying, you know, MCA, you can just leave BN if you're so unhappy. And this also has cropped up kind of a few times since they became the opposition. Last year, MCA said, hey, you know, we're going to vote to dissolve the BN coalition. Is parting ways the next natural step for MCA to take?
Well, when MCA passed that resolution on trying to dissolve BN, well, it was very curious. I mean, people are wondering what exactly does that mean, because, well, as Nasri rightly pointed out, to effect such a dissolution, you would perhaps need the sort of consent of the other component parties in BN, right? Namely UMNO and MIC. And by the way, a lot of component parties have since left BN after last year's general election, including Gerakan, including various Sabah and Sarawak parties. So how MCA is going to dissolve BN remains a curious question. But if you look at what happened since the resolution was passed, for example, in Cameron Highlands, MCA still campaigned very actively for BN. So how would you still campaign very actively? And I think in the upcoming Semenye election, by-election as well, and still on the one hand asking to dissolve the coalition, it's something which is very difficult to understand. And at least Nasri fails to understand that.
So we've looked at a bit of the history behind the BN coalition. What can we expect the BN of the future to look like?
I think nowadays, with the latest political development, I think it's perhaps not so meaningful to differentiate very sharply, very distinctly between, let's say, Pakatan and BN. It's more like whether the individual members of parliament, be they from Pakatan, be they from BN or UMNO, would such MPs support Mahathir or would they support Anwar? I think that is a more relevant question. And in that sense, it sort of reminds me of what General Douglas MacArthur said upon his retirement, something like old soldiers never die, they just fade away, right? Amnon, in a sense, would never die. It would just sort of transfigure or transform into, for example, a part of, let's say, Bersatu, led by Dr. Mahathir, or some other factions may join PKR or various other component parties of Pakatan. But then the similar sort of racial divide, I think, will still go on for a while, as long as there are still, for example, rural constituencies in Malaysia. You wouldn't see the kind of progressive, enlightened de-racialization that is going on in many parts of the urban areas as prominently in the rural areas.
Ihsan, thank you as always. That was Dr. Oh Ihsan, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, giving us, some insight, I suppose, into how Barisan Nasional came to be, partly because we just wanted to look at the power struggles, you know, the kind of power elements that have always entered the picture, since it turns out that MCA is being told by Barisan National Secretary General Nasri Aziz, look, if you don't like it, you can bounce. So let us know your thoughts on the matter. You can call 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.